Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Alpharetta, Georgia, it's time for Alpharetta Business Radio, spotlighting the area's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning, everyone. This is your host, Chris Deakle. We have in our studio today two great guests. One is Heather Blanchard from the Johns Creek Convention and Visitors Bureau. And our other esteemed guest is a longtime friend of mine and someone known to a lot of you, especially you veterans, Bill Williams with Axiom Franchise Advisors. Bill's very active in the veterans community as well as a very good business broker and advisor. So we really look forward to having you people on. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. Yeah, good to be here.
Great. Well, let's start off with you, Heather. I know people think about convention and visitors bureaus as being something where, you know, the out-of-towners come. What is this convention and visitors bureau, and what makes it special for people that are not necessarily visitors?
Well, it's interesting. You know, a lot of people do associate convention and visitors bureaus with vacations, and I joke about it a lot in Johns Creek because, you know, we don't have any amusement parks, and we're never going to have an aquarium, but when you boil it down, a convention and visitors bureau is the marketing arm of a city. So our whole job is to let you know about that particular area. So it may be a city, it may be a county. So in Johns Creek, that's what we are. We're actually, interestingly, economic development. That's what a CVB is. We are here, I say, I'm trying to get you to spend your money inside our city. So.
Yeah, when was it formed, and how did it come about?
Well, yeah, Johns Creek, you know, still is not the youngest, but one of the younger cities. So it was a couple years. Johns Creek formed in 2006, so it was a couple years after Johns Creek formed that they developed the CVB, and it was run for a couple years by wonderful board of directors, and then I was brought on about a couple years ago.
I see. And what was your background?
My background was pretty diverse. I actually spent a good amount of time in a lot of client management and client development. I also worked over at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater directly before coming to Johns Creek. But I've always had my hand in marketing. That's always the fun part.
You know, so you're helping the Convention and Visitors Bureau get the word out and reach out to businesses and others who might want to relocate there?
Relocation happens. The primary function of a visitors bureau is we're looking, I don't say necessarily, visitors. I look at travelers because that's much more extensive. If you think about from an economic development standpoint, you are really bringing, it may be those holiday in-laws that you don't want to stay at your house, but stay in Johns Creek. But you have the soccer games that travel, and you've got teams that come in. You've got, especially in Johns Creek, we've got a business community, a strong business community in Technology Park, and we have quite a few business travelers that come and stay in Johns Creek.
Oh. I see. I didn't realize that the Technology Park was part of Johns Creek.
Yep, right at our back door. Yeah, we got quite a few big businesses right behind us.
Well, who are the big ones?
Well, we hear a lot about State Farm, Budweiser's back there, Alcon.
Can we get tours?
I haven't actually tapped into that resource. No pun intended. But we'll work on that one.
Yeah, what attracts people to Johns Creek?
Well, Johns Creek, it's interesting. We've won quite a few awards from a quality of life standpoint. We've got phenomenal schools and just the beauty. We hear our safety record. We often get that. That ranks us rather highly and attracts the residents. But from a business traveler, you have to label location as being a big, big part of the attraction of Johns Creek. I've talked to several of our guests in our hotel, and it's interesting. Johns Creek's only going to be 6 years old, but we've had people that have been coming into Atlanta for business for 10 or 12 years, they come to Johns Creek because Gwinnett County is real convenient to them. They're coming, they understand where they are in relation to the city of Atlanta, and of course, all of North Fulton. So from a business standpoint, it's just, we say, you know, the right distance from everything. So that's a huge, huge attraction.
Does that mean you're away from or near to?
It depends on what you're looking for. You know, we can go back to that in-law thing. So it depends on what you're looking for, but we can make it work for you. But, you know, the other thing that's interesting, Johns Creek's, our dining is increasingly becoming more and more popular. It's kind of fun to watch the inside perimeter, outside perimeter arguments about the locations of our restaurants. Why would I go downtown? Why would I want to stay here? And our restaurants are amazing. So that piece is also becoming a big, big attraction.
Which one is your favorite?
Oh, don't know. You're not going to put me on the spot there. That's tough. That's tough. And you know what? It changes. We're actually attracting. We've gotten a few new restaurants that are they were established like in the Midwest, and their first location that they decided to move outside of the Midwest was Johns Creek. We have another restaurant that was up in the Washington, D.C. area. The first location outside of D.C. is in Johns Creek, so it's kind of neat.
Yeah, interesting. What are the issues that are facing cities like Johns Creek and the political leaders, and how does the CVB help them respond to the challenges?
Well, you know, when you look, and this has been everybody's challenge, you know, you talk about traffic, you know, you talk about growth. How do you get from point A to point B? You make it convenient. The growth in Johns Creek, it's kind of that double-edged sword. It's a good and bad thing. And so I see our political leaders in that respect. From a CVB standpoint, you know, I just want everybody to be happy. So we actually created a nice map for travelers that is just as attractive to the residents that have been in the area. It's funny because with the growth and the traffic and the new borders and the development of all of North Fulton, you'd be surprised how many people who've lived here, some of them all their lives, and they look at this map and they go, look, this is where the road changes names. And that throws everybody off. So, you know, it seems trivial until you're trying to get to that meeting or you're trying to direct somebody in from out of town or just across town.
Yeah. You know, what do you do to improve the quality of life for people that are in Johns Creek and in the surrounding community?
Well, in specifically for the CVB, our role is to help attract people to the city and make sure that they understand what's available in Johns Creek. I say with our residents and the quality of life and the things that are happening in Johns Creek, It naturally happens. What's good for somebody who's traveling, what's good for a business, what's good for a resident, they all mingle. You know, they kind of all overlap. If you look at, for example, another asset that we have, just the cultural arts in Johns Creek, we have our own all-professional symphony, which is pretty significant. It's a nice symphony orchestra, mm-hmm. all-professional, which is very unique. But we also have the North Atlanta Dance Academy. We have Ann Theater. We also have the Arts Center. We also have the Chopin Society. We have Autry Mill. Autry Mill is a fabulous place. Those things are equally, they definitely add to the value and the quality of life for our residents, but they're just as attractive to somebody who's visiting.
I didn't realize it was that big of an art-oriented community. You know, didn't you just have a big event?
Yeah, our arts festival. Yeah.
Yeah. What was that?
Johns Creek has had an arts festival every year, and I call it, again, this is more from a CVB standpoint, it's what I call a signature event. It really is what kind of helps define to the rest of the world a little bit about what is Johns Creek. And an arts festival, our arts festival did that. We definitely bumped it up. The city majorly took it to a whole new level this year. Moved the location mm-hmm. across from the athletic club, added fireworks. We added an evening concert. It was amazing. We had about 25,000 people over the course of the weekend.
Wow. How many exhibitors? Are you? I guess you had booths, things like that?
Yeah, we had just over 100 of the arts booths. But, for example, Arts on the Creek had displays from our area high school, our art students. We also had, you know, a couple of the sponsors that were sprinkled in there. Again, back to the food in Johns Creek. Yeah, some good eats.
What are the upcoming events that you're working with now over in Johns Creek?
From an event standpoint, our next big one is one that's coincidentally, even though we're only 6 years old, it's been held in Johns Creek for over 8 years, and that's the Southeastern Lacrosse Championship. And that is the largest collegiate lacrosse conference in the nation. And they have their tournament in Johns Creek. It's hosted by Northview. And that'll be coming up in April. So that's a pretty neat tournament. And everybody's always, just like most of the sports, waiting to see what happens with Georgia and Florida to see if they make the playoffs. But the other thing that people are somewhat surprised to know is we're already working on the next golf tournament.
Wow. When is that?
It's in, we have the U.S. Amateur coming in 2014 to the Atlanta Athletic Club.
Really?
Yes, yes. And you got to start early on those things.
Tickets?
We're not at the ticket stage yet, but it's an amazing network. The Athletic Club, the Atlanta Athletic Club, is a phenomenal asset. It's definitely what I like to say. It's Johns Creek's Biltmore. It's a big one. It put us on the map, so to speak.
Well, where do you think people in your industry generally, in the convention and visitors bureaus, miss the mark? What do they miss that you don't?
I think you have to look at, and this from a very business standpoint. You know, we joke, we are a nonprofit and we're a 501c6. But the business aspect of it is a business. So you really have to look at your assets. You have to look at what makes sense for Johns Creek. And, you know, for us, it's not only the obvious, like the amazing world-famous Atlanta Athletic Club. It's the evolving medical community. You know, people don't realize that in Johns Creek, we will have people that seek out our doctors, travel from, we actually have people traveling, believe this or not, internationally to visit some of our doctors in Johns Creek. That's a nice thing. It's not one of those things that most people think of from a Convention and Visitors Bureau. But again, if from anybody that's traveling, we want to make sure that they understand it's the dining, it's the symphony, it's the location, it's the whole package.
Wow. Yeah. Very interesting. Well, we've covered a lot of ground. Is there anything that you've thought of that you missed that you'd like to say that hasn't come out yet?
Let's see. I got it pretty much covered at all.
Okay, well, we'll give you another shot at then. But so people can get in touch with you. What's a good website address and a phone number?
Definitely, I'd say our website is probably our best asset because, you know, they say pictures make a big difference. And then in the world of the Internet, we have lots of links and information to all of the things in Johns Creek. So johnscreekcvb.com is your best way. And you can find links, phone numbers, my email address as well there.
Super. Well, thank you. Can you hang around for our next guest, Bill Williams?
Absolutely. Love to.
Well, let's go over to you, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Chris. Good to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. Yeah, Bill is well known to a lot of us from his veterans work as well as in the franchise industry. And, you know, he is with Axiom Franchise Advisors. And, Bill, how long have you been in the franchise industry?
I'm starting my eighth year.
Wow. You know, and how did you get into that?
Well, I'm pretty much... I'm like a lot of the people I work with, a corporate refugee. Spent a long time in the corporate world, different roles, different executive positions, and finally just got to the point where I'd had enough and wanted to do something for myself rather than work hard for other people. And ended up realizing there's lots of people like me that need help, you know, looking for a new business, and so that's what I did.
Yeah,
so.
You know, how do you help people look for a business?
Well, we go through. We've got an extensive system. We process, I guess, is better described. A lot of questioning, trying to drill down on, what people are trying to accomplish. We try to get them to think outside the box and to really think long term. And what are they, if they want to own a business, why? Why do they want to do that? And what do they want owning a business to accomplish for them? And to, to have some benchmarks set. So there's a big element of career consulting in what we do in trying to get people to think about their, long-term, how they're going to retire and when they're going to retire.
I see. Do you work with individual businesses as well as franchises?
I don't. I look at the business broker world, and that's a special talent. And I decided to, some time ago that I really like the structure that franchising provides to people. And if you're someone coming out of the corporate world, you're used to, having a lot of support and structure around you. You've got accounting department, marketing department, sales, et cetera. You go off into a business of your own, and you don't have those things necessarily. But people move in, can move into it in a step fashion, and franchising offers that structure that people are used to.
A system and a structure, in other words,
right.
that take many of the uncertainties out.
It makes that transition a little easier.
I see. How has the franchise industry been the last few years?
Well, it's like everything else. The economy has impacted everybody, but really, it's been pretty strong, and is coming back faster than the economy because there are people out there who need to do something, and there's the number of jobs are just not sufficient to meet the demand. So, the more small business we can create through opening, franchise operations of some sort, the more jobs we'll create and the faster the economy will pick up.
What kind of impact does the franchise industry have on our unemployment figures?
On our unemployment figures? Well, I don't know. That's an interesting question. I think it goes back to, how do we create jobs and,
They're strong job creators.
Small businesses where most jobs are at.
And franchises are a fast way for people to get in business.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people do. I mean, you can drive down the road and tell they're popular.
That's true. You can see all kinds of,
But in addition to the ones that are brick and mortar, that you obviously see, like the guys with the golden arches and those things, are there other kinds of franchises?
First of all, there's somewhere around 4,000 to 5,000 different brands, and probably something like 80 different categories. So you've got work from home, you've got service franchises. The most recognizable is in the restaurant industry, as you just mentioned. But in reality, only 26% of the franchise industry is restaurant related. So you've got just tons of other choices that most people are not aware of.
You have any examples just to kind of get people's mind wrapped around the subject?
Well, there's things like business coaching and work like that. There are I've just helped someone get into a business where they're going to it's a disaster mitigation. A disaster meaning your 2-year-old stuffed the teddy bear in the toilet and overflowed and ruined the carpet and the floor,
That is a disaster.
Yeah, or somebody, not anybody I've ever known, left a pot of spaghetti sauce on the stove too long and smoked up the house, those are things that need to be repaired and great business model. I've got a fellow who is about, later this week will sign in for a private security and patrol, which is a fast-growing area.
Really?
And very interesting. Document destruction, you know, the have a, one of my favorite stories is a fellow who was a civil engineer, scared to death of anything to do with sales, and got into a business that he repairs dentist equipment. And he's doing just fine, and he can still play golf on Wednesday and, you know, doing everything he wants to do. So he's quite happy. I see him at least once a month for lunch or something like that.
Wow. Very interesting. With a great variety of franchises and that take advantage of practically any skill or background that you have. I know you do a lot of work with veterans. We've got a lot of veterans that are going to be coming out of the military, just like we have in the past.
That's right.
What kind of advice can you offer them about career paths?
Well, you're right. I mean, the numbers are really staggering. Estimated that there'll be over 200,000 vets leaving active duty, you know, with retiring or just ending their commitment every year for the next 5 years. You know, so there's a million people coming, you know, back into the economy. And some of them, a small percentage are going to be interested in entrepreneurship and working for themselves, and also turning that around and hiring other veterans. So, back to that creating jobs again. So we're working on a number of things. We offer webinars twice a month, aimed at the military. We call it from boots to business. And we are actually thinking very seriously and done some research about a radio show just like this one that would be, aimed at that same market.
Well, that'd be a great idea.
Yeah, I think so. There's
people just don't know. I mean, that's one of the reasons we have this show, because there's so many things people just don't realize.
Right.
Especially if you've been overseas for the last.
Oh yeah, and they don't know how to go about it. They probably have some preconceived notions mm-hmm. that are not quite on the mark. And if we can educate them, mm-hmm. if we can do nothing more, Chris, than keep somebody from making a mistake, I'd like a coffee shop, on a corner because there's one right there in that strip mall, that I see every day, mm-hmm. and I think it'd be great. May not be the right fit. It's not, it's all about what's the best fit and what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I think that's maybe one of your misconceptions that people are talking about is that, franchise brokers are really there to, find anything they can sell you. I mean, I suppose right. there's some, like everything, there's probably
sure.
some bad apples, but what is your approach? How do you help people avoid the traps and pitfalls?
Well, we get them to focus on the long term. We understand, through interviews and in conversation, what are their strengths, what are their skills, what are their weaknesses, what do they like to do, what they do they not like to do, how much. Although we're not allowed to talk about it, how much money do they have to have, in the first year, second year, third year? Somebody comes in and says, well, I have to make $80,000 my first year. I give them a good handshake and say good luck because I can't help you. You shouldn't come into it like that. So, do a reality check with them and, educate them on how to do it, what's out there. And what might be the best thing for them and their family?
I'd like to circle back to our veterans
sure.
and the misconceptions they have or the trepidation they have. And I also understand there's a language kind of communication problem between the military and the
yep.
civilian world.
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, there's military speak, that doesn't translate into civilian terms if you've got someone who's held responsible positions, whether it be squad leader, platoon leader, first sergeant, battalion commander, whatever, those are heavy duty, leadership positions. And you've got to make sure that communications are good, that everybody is ready to meet the day, and it's very similar to what you do in a business.
Mm-hmm.
Except
the consequences are usually a lot bigger.
They're different for sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What skills do military people have that make them particularly good for franchises?
Good question. Very good question. I think if you took the military you know, and did a profile against the average, you know, profile in our society, you'd find a higher degree of initiative and integrity. You'd find, you know, they're great at following systems. They're used to that. They're accustomed to training. They're leaders, but they're also good team players, and they're absolutely accept accountability and responsibility. You know, so those are all the traits that you want. And not only if you're hiring, you know, in a good employee, but, you know, in a business owner.
Wow. You know, their skills, or particularly leadership skills, right. I understand are very good.
Sure.
They certainly know how to work as a team.
They know how to lead, they know how to follow. You know?
Yeah, and how does that, you know, what from the franchisor's point of view, you know, what do they see in a veteran that makes them very attractive?
Well,
compared to the average, you know, bloke that shows up that just wandered in out of the corporate world with no military background.
Well, I think they're a franchise. If you boil it all down, is what you know. If you acquire a franchise, you're acquiring a system or a series of systems, systems on how to operate, you know, a business. Everything from what color to paint the walls to you know, 8:30 in the morning I do this, 9:30 I'm do this, etc. And so very structured, and if you execute the system, you have a very high, you know, degree of success. And military people are pretty much, you know, used to having systems and structure, so they're comfortable in that environment. They don't have to reinvent the wheel. They can make improvements, but by working within the system, and you know that team player thing is also very important because you share experiences and communications within the franchise system itself, among other franchisees. You look for best practices, and that's also something that the military, you know, is probably not recognized for, but, you know, it happens. You know, best practices are shared and needed because what works here may not work, you know, somewhere else.
Now, do you think that being in the military is a definite advantage for today's, you know, let's just say, you know, emerging youth?
Oh yeah, I think it's a fabulous experience. And you know, looking back, you know, 300 years to mine, it was where I grew up and where I learned, you know, a lot of things and tested myself, surprised myself at what I actually could achieve when, you know, when asked to. So I think those are great qualities, and franchisors love that background.
I love that asked part.
Well, yeah. Sometimes it was different tone, you know. But.
You know, from the franchise industry's perspective, what initiatives are going on? What initiatives do you have going on that will help veterans get into a business like franchising, if that's the right thing for them?
Yep. Well, there is an effort called Vet Fran, and that is you know, made up of I don't know what the number is. It's many hundred franchise brands. And they offer significant discounts on the franchise fee to veterans. And beyond that, there will be some creative financing available to them. I talked to a company on Friday, and then not only do they have a significant discount on the franchise fee, but they'll finance 60% of the remaining part of this franchise fee.
Wow.
To help someone get into business. So, yeah, you may be looking at, you know, a lot less that's needed to get in there. And if they have, you know, they just as many people use a 401k RRA, you know, on a conversion, you know, there are, military has a savings funds that are very similar, and they can fit into that rollover and use some of those funds to help you get into a business as well.
I mean, I think they're pretty serious about it. I understand that several of the big major franchise brands have actually given away franchises.
Yes.
You know, do you know any in particular they've done?
Well, there's a friend of mine right here in Atlanta. You know, Paul Romanek, who has Citrus Solutions. He's looking to give away a franchise to a returning terror era veteran from Iraq, Afghanistan, and you know, somewhere in the Gwinnett County area, and boy, carpet cleaning isn't glamorous, but it is a great business, and Paul's done well, you know, and his people do well. Mm-hmm. So he's got a big program around that.
I understand he's really really committed to it.
Yes, he is. Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you looking for other people to help you with any of these initiatives or businesses and how they could get involved?
Oh, sure. You know, we'd love to partner with people to help promote the idea. I mean, my goal, you know, is to have Axiom become the premier go-to source for franchise consulting for veterans. You know, if we can make our name known and just tell people this is what we do, this is how we do it. And, oh, by the way, there's no cost to the individual. Everything we do is, you know, is paid for by the franchise company. So there's no cost, you know, hidden or otherwise, you know, to someone who's looking at a franchise.
So there's no fee from you for anyone that wants to come to you for advice.
That is correct. They walk in the front door of the franchise, or they can come through me or someone like me, and they will pay the exact same fee.
I see. So, you know, one of the things I guess that you bring to this is a familiarity with the different franchises and their programs, and also their successes,
right?
As well as failures.
So. Oh yeah.
So does that help, you know, someone who comes to you?
Well, I hope so, yeah.
I mean, I think one of the misconceptions, because I've kind of played around with the franchise business a little bit myself, is that brokers will put you in anything, but isn't it true, Bill, that any good franchise broker that's been here for a long time and has a good reputation, his job is really to put you in a franchise that you will succeed in, because good news travels slow, bad news travels very fast.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'd much rather put somebody into a business, you know, where I have confidence that they're going to succeed rather than take a risk, you know, because – you know, they may turn around and buy another one. They may turn around and tell a friend, you know, or a neighbor or relative that, hey, we had a really good experience and we felt like, you know, we were treated well and educated and didn't cost us anything. You know?
And then with the world of social media, you can't hide anymore.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So,
well, Bill, is there anything that we didn't cover about franchising and veterans that you'd like to, you know, tell our, you know, listeners about?
Well, specifically, no. I just think there's a tremendous amount of energy building, you know, in the outside the veteran community and within, you know, within veterans to help other veterans. And, you know, LinkedIn, there's a number of groups out there that are veteran oriented and veteran entrepreneur oriented and career change, you know, information. So there's just a lot of activity out there, a lot of people doing some good things. You know, you look at college campuses. Last week I was at Georgia Perimeter College. Mark Eister is a retired Army Sergeant Major, and he's the head of the Veterans Outreach. You know, he thinks there's probably 2,000 veterans on the Georgia Perimeter campuses, but they only talk to a few hundred. And then I also got to meet the guys at Kennesaw State. They're in a similar program. They have the same number. So, you know, the more information we get out there, there's resources to help you, whether it's PTSD, whether it's career change, whether it's education, whether it's business ownership. You know, let's get the word out and let's help these folks coming back, because, you know, they need it. They deserve it.
Bill, people want to get in touch with you and be involved and help you, or if you're a veteran, or have a family member who is, you know, be coming out of the service soon, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, I've got a landing page on the Axiom website. It's www.axx, that's Alpha X-ray, X-ray, IOM, .com/B Williams, and they can find me there, my email and phone numbers, and you know, take a look at what we offer as well.
Great. Well, thank you, Bill. That was very informative. We don't often have someone that's involved in helping our community. Like you, Heather, after you've listened to all this, did you think of anything else you might want to add?
Well,
No.
I mean, probably maybe how we're funded.
Yeah.
I think some people may be surprised. We are funded by hotel motel tax. So that's always why we're looking to get somebody to stay overnight, if at all possible.
Do you get tax revenue to help?
It is. The tax revenue does come in through the city, and then the actual relationship, the Johns Creek CVB, and this is true for the majority of CVBs, is we're contracted with the city to handle, again, that marketing, how do we get the business and leisure traveler. Mm-hmm. But interesting and somewhat unique to Johns Creek, and a couple of the more newer form cities, is that we still have 39%, almost 40% of that revenue goes to the World Congress Center.
Gosh.
Yeah, so that's a big hit for us as a city. A big percentage of it goes, the majority of it, the money goes downtown.
Wow.
And eventually it'll be going into the new Falcons arena. So that's tough when we were coming to the end of one, and now we just got another 50 years tacked on. But and then we basically, so it's hotel motel tax, but really the percentage we get of that is about only about 28%.
I see.
Yeah, but that's Sandy Springs is kind of in that same boat too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Well, what did you think that you learned from Bill that you didn't know before?
Well, you know, I mentioned dining in Johns Creek, and we're seeing that big explosion. If somebody had asked me about franchising, I would have thought restaurants. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yep.
So that was kind of a surprise to see that it was, it's a nice chunk, but it's definitely not the majority that I thought it would have been. Mm-hmm. So,
now, how about you, Bill? What did you take away from our guest today?
Well, first of all, I noted that U.S. Amateur Golf Tournament coming a year and a half out.
Going to try to score some tickets?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely got to. But I liked Heather's description that you know, CVB is the marketing arm of the city, you know, and they're really there for economic development. I hear the word convention. I think that's, you know, you mm-hmm. manage conventions, you know, and, you know, so.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. We don't have a convention center, huh?
Yeah.
That kind of makes it unique.
So, yeah, no, that's a great take. You know,
but conventions do come in all sizes, though.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, thank you so much for being on Alpharetta Business Radio. And we look forward to having you back.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.